Today we're building a blue and amen style call and response riff for that VHS rave, dusty warehouse, late night jungle vibe inside Ableton Live 12. This is a beginner lesson, so we're going to keep it clear, practical, and very musical. The goal is not just to chop up an amen break. The real move is to make the break answer itself, like two drum phrases talking to each other. That's what gives the loop energy, personality, and that unmistakable drum and bass lift. By the end, you'll have a two-bar breakbeat riff that feels alive, glued together, and ready to sit under a sub-bass. It should work as a drop hook, a pre-drop tension loop, a roller groove, or a switch-up before the second drop. So let's get into it. First, load your amen-style break into Ableton. The easiest beginner path is to create a MIDI track and drop the sample into Sampler. Set Sampler to slice mode. If the break has clear hits already, use slice by transients. If it's dusty or noisy, don't be afraid to place or adjust a few slice points manually so your kicks, snares, and ghost notes are actually playable. Keep the project tempo around 170 to 174 BPM if you want that classic DNB pace. Turn warp on if you need the break to line up cleanly with the session tempo. We want the break to stay musical and locked, but not flattened. The charm of Amen comes from the swing, the ghost notes, and the little imperfections. Before you start arranging, listen to the sample and think in phrases, not slices. That's the big mindset shift here. Don't ask, where are all the chops? Ask, where does this break speak, and where does it answer? Now choose two roles, the call and the response. The call should be the more direct phrase. Usually this means a tight kick snare shape, something punchy and clear. The response should feel like a reply. It can be busier, more open, slightly darker, or just different enough to create contrast. A simple starting idea could be this. In bar 1, you use a kick, then a snare, then another kick. In bar 2, you answer with a snare, a ghost note, and a short fill or pickup. The point is not complexity. The point is conversation. If you make both bars too similar, the loop can feel flat. If you make them too different, it can fall apart. You want just enough variation that the brain hears repetition first, then a reply. That's what keeps a breakbeat riff from sounding robotic. Now map your slices into a drum rack if you want easier sequencing. If you're still in Sampler, you can convert the slices to a drum rack or drag the slices to pads. Label a few important hits so you don't get lost. Kick, snare, ghost, hat, fill. That makes the editing much faster and way less confusing for a beginner. Create a 2-bar MIDI clip and place the call in bar 1 and the response in bar 2. Keep it simple at first. Seriously, resist the urge to overchop. A lot of beginner breakbeat problems come from adding too much too soon. You want the groove to breathe. Now let's glue it together with timing and velocity. This is where the riff starts feeling like a performance instead of a grid. Leave the main snares fairly on time, because the snare is usually the identity of the break. Then slightly nudge some ghost notes late, just a few milliseconds if needed. That tiny movement makes the loop feel human and urgent. Use velocity to shape the energy. Ghost notes can live around 35 to 70 in velocity. Main snare hits can stay stronger, maybe 90 to 120. Kicks can vary a little too, around 80 to 110, just enough to keep the phrase breathing. If you want, open the groove pool and try a subtle swing groove, or extract groove from the original sample if it already has a nice feel. Keep it light. Usually 10 to 30% is enough. Too much swing and the break starts dragging. In drum and bass, you want the loop to shuffle, not stumble. A good little teacher trick here is to simplify the first bar if the loop feels stiff. A cleaner first bar gives the second bar room to feel like a reply. Bass is part of the groove. Next, let's shape the sound with simple stock processing. Put the break through EQ8, drum bus, saturator, and glue compressor. You do not need to go heavy. In fact, for this style, less is often more. Start with EQ8 and just clean up unnecessary low rumble if needed. A gentle high pass below 25 to 35 Hz can help, but don't thin the breakout. Then use drum bus with a bit of drive, maybe 5 to 15%, and just enough crunch to make the drum body feel denser. After that, add saturator with soft clip-on and a few dB of drive. This can give you that slightly compressed, vintage, tape-like thickness. Then add glue compressor with a moderate ratio, maybe 2 to 1 or 4 to 1, a slower attack, and a medium or auto-release. The idea is to make the slices feel welded together, not smashed. That glue part matters a lot here. We're not trying to hear random chopped fragments. We want the whole riff to sound like one drummer played it. That's what gives the loop its VHS rave color and that old-school jungle feel. Now make the response feel like an actual answer. This is where contrast really counts. the response bar can be a little more open, a little more washed, or just slightly more active. You might drop one hit to create space. You might add a hat pickup. You might put a tiny fill at the end of the bar. You could even use a reversed feeling slice or a short snare drag into the next phrase. If you want a quick automation move, try opening the filter slightly on the response, or adding a bit more reverb or delay send just on that second bar. Keep the call tighter and drier, and let the response feel like it's expanding a little. That's a classic way to make the loop feel like a mini story. Now let's add the VHS rave texture, but carefully. The trick is old texture plus modern drum weight. You want the memory of tape, not a broken cassette. So if you use erosion, use it lightly. If you use redux, keep it subtle. If you use autopan, make the motion shallow and slow. You can also try a tiny bit of chorus ensemble if you want a smeared, widened high-end feel, but be very gentle. If you want a darker, heavier DNB vibe, you can also duplicate the break onto another track, low pass that duplicate, and blend it in very quietly under the main phrase. That can give you thickness without making the groove sound obviously layered. Now check the loop against a sub bass. Even though this lesson is about the break, the drums never really exist alone in DNB. Add a simple sine sub, maybe from operator or a clean sine style patch in Waveedable. Keep it mono, steady, and clear. Then listen to how the kick and snare relate to it. If the kick disappears, carve a bit of space. If the sub is masking the body of the snare, clean up some low mids around 150 to 300 Hz. If the break feels too wide, keep the low end mono. The basic rule is, let the sub own the deepest low frequencies, and let the break own the rhythm and mid-range crack. This check is huge. A break can sound cool on its own and still fall apart in a full track. Always audition it at performance volume 2. Quiet monitoring can hide harsh hats and snare issues. Loud playback tells you the truth. Now think about arrangement. Don't leave it as a static two-bar loop. Turn it into something you can actually use in a track. A nice starting structure could be filtered intro bars first, then the full call and response, then the bass line comes in, and then the response phrase gets a little more intense with a fill or a snare drag. Later, you can strip one hit out for tension before the next section. That's classic drum and bass arrangement logic. Build tension, reveal the hook, then mutate it. The drums should feel like they're moving the track forward, not just looping in place. Here's a really useful beginner mindset. Make one element carry the identity, and usually that's the snare. Keep the snare character consistent while you vary the surrounding hits. That way, even when the break shifts, the listener still recognizes the groove. If you want to push it further, try one of these variations. Make the response bar leave a hole by dropping one hit. Bass can hit harder than extra notes. Repeat one quiet ghost note from the call in a new spot in the response. That gives you a subtle callback effect. Add two very short notes into the main snare on the response bar for a snare drag feel, but keep it tight. Stutter one slice a couple of times right before the bar resets for a manual fill, or pitch one response slice down just a touch for that worn tape flavor. All of those work best when the core groove is already solid. Tiny edits first, big flare later. If you're building a darker or heavier roller, try this. Keep the first bar cleaner, and let the second bar carry a little more movement. That contrast makes the answer feel like the phrase is leaning forward. It's such a simple idea, but it works. Once the riff feels good, group the break elements and send them through a drum bus for final control. Use just enough compression, saturation, and EQ to make the kit feel welded together. Do a mono check. If the loop collapses badly, reduce the stereo effects. If the snare loses bite, bring back some mid-range presence. If the loop feels cluttered, remove one ornament instead of trying to EQ everything at once. That's the finishing mindset. No overprocessing, just enough glue. So let's recap the process. You loaded an Amen-style break into Simpler, sliced it, and built a two-bar call and response phrase. You used timing, velocity, and subtle groove to make it human. You added light processing with EQ8, drum bus, saturator, and glue compressor to weld the slices together. Then you used contrast, filters, and maybe a little lo-fi movement to give it that VHS rave color. Finally, you checked it against a sub and thought about arrangement, because in DNB the drums and bass have to work like a team. For practice, make three versions of the same riff. First, a dry and clean version with minimal processing. Second, a VHS rave version with a bit of saturation, drum bus drive, and a darker filter on the response. Third, a darker roller version where you remove one hit, add a subtle pickup or ghost note, and check it against a signed sub at 172 BPM. Then ask yourself which one grooves hardest, which one feels most alive, and which one would work best before a drop. If you want a next level challenge, resample your favorite version and rebuild it from audio. That's a great way to get an even more glued, cohesive breakbeat loop, and that's the core idea here, not just chopping the amen, but making it speak, answer, and bounce back with that gritty, human, late night jungle energy.